to go. Taco to
and a big queue.
Taco to go.
Taco to go. Trip Taco just $2.99. Comes with a big Q, this deal so fine. Brisket breakfast, so much to choose for $2.99. You really can't lose.
Taco to go, taco to.
This deal legit.
Taco to go, taco.
Only at Quick Trip.
Taco to go, taco to go, taco to go.
$2.99.
Caps playoff coverage continues on Grant and Danny. One more chance for somebody to win a pair of tickets to game two coming up at the end of this hour. About 50 minutes from right now. Caps playoff coverage today is brought to you by Ace Trim Carpentry. For 25 years, Ace Trim's been a trusted trade partner for new home builders in the DMV. They specialize in full-service interior trim carpentry, handling everything from supply to installation, turnkey and hassle-free. Contact acetrim.com today. Ace Trim, the home builder's trade partner. On the Rood guest hotline right now, Rood, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. We find our guy, Bruce Boudreaux, the former head coach here in the nation's capital with the Caps, who from 07 through 11-12 with the Young Guns was one of the more entertaining operations in the league. He was a part of many a postseason game here in D.C. and thereafter. Bruce, thanks so much for the time. We appreciate it. How are you?
I'm good, Grant. How are you today?
Doing very well. We're at City Tap House with a bunch of listeners wearing red, getting ready to go over to Cap One Arena tonight. It's game one of round two for the Caps. We want to get your assessment on this matchup. The Hurricanes have become fairly heavy favorites, which we're surprised by, considering Washington had more points, more goals for and against this year, higher rankings in both. Why do you think Carolina is so favored in this series?
You know, it's really hard to tell. I just think the Caps are not respected for whatever reason. They're like the redheaded stepchild. They've played much better than Carolina in the season. They won the season series, I believe. They have done so many things better than Carolina, yet Carolina's the pretty boy. Like, I mean, they got Brind'Amour behind the bench. They're fast. They're like the guys that never get their clothes dirty type thing. So they're the favorite. I think the Caps are going to get down and dirty with them, and I don't think Carolina is going to be able to meet their push. So, I mean, let them be the favorites all they want. I think the Caps have got the better team.
What's the most important thing for the Caps to do, Coach, to win tonight after this weird long layoff?
I think it's just to be physical. Don't let them skate. Don't let them freewheel. They want to play. They want to play a rush kind of game. I think if the Caps are more structured, get it deep, and just finish checks, and don't give them any odd man rushes. I think that then they'll be successful. The biggest thing Carolina has going for it is in the playoffs anyway, their special teams were so good, 15 for 15 on the PK, and I think they scored 5 power play goals. If the Caps don't take penalties and they can get in at 5-5 game, I think they're the better team.
My guess for the answer of the question I'm about to ask you is just their speed, but I want your expertise and kind of more insight than that. The Hurricanes this year had more power play opportunities than anybody else. I think it was like 219 in the NHL, and then they had 19 in the playoffs in the first round, which was more than anybody else through 5 games. Why are they able to draw so many penalties? Because I'm with you, staying out of the box might be the key to the series. But when teams have played them, nobody's been able to avoid taking penalties. Why is that?
Well, they do have a speed game. They do play a simple game where they just they get it deep and everything else. Listen, if you want to put me to put the analyst hat on, I think that's basically it. They go to the dirty areas. They don't retaliate as much. They're disciplined. If you want me to put on my fans hat, I'm saying they cry all the time. And when things don't go good for them, you got Brind'Amour screaming behind the bench. You got the players crying on the ice, and I think they get extra calls from that. So, I mean, it would tick me off so much, or it does tick me off when I watch Carolina, and they get obvious penalties, or they get called on a penalty, and they're all crying from the bench, and I think it hampers them. But I mean, at the same time, I do believe that it's their speed and their work ethic Because, I mean, if you outwork teams, and the one thing Carolina does do for the most part is outwork other teams, the other teams have to do something in the penalty department to stop you. And I think that's what they do. That's what they do best. But, I mean, if you play in their zone and you play and you don't let them get that speed game generated or that rush chance game generated, I think you're much better suited to beat these guys. And I think, you know, when Logan Thompson's at his best, I think he's a better goalie than Freddie Anderson, who I had for 5 years and know him pretty well.
Coach Bruce Boudreau with us here on G&D. Coach, this layoff was such a weird thing for both teams. Obviously, Carolina clinched a week ago, Washington the day after. How would you have handled that as a coach with some of the uncertainty about when the game was going to end up being and then kind of the ramp up to try to get some guys rest, which is probably good, but to keep them sharp, which is what's needed?
Well, you know what? I think for the most part, they could. Both organizations are smart enough to probably guess when the series was going to start within a day, and you ramp it up like that. I mean, it's a combination. I mean, I've always believed that if you've got a week or more off, you have to have one tough practice in there, and just to make sure that you've kept the legs and the energy and the wind going in your body here. But I mean, time off, days of rest is so important at this stage. There's so many bumps and bruises on every athlete out there that, I mean, I think rest is going to be good, but one good practice and the rest of the practices you work on special teams. I mean, if you don't have the systems down by now, if you don't have all those things that you do down by now, then, you know, you're usually not in the second round. But by getting to the second round, I mean, now you start to look at the other team and say, okay, this is what they do really well. Let's practice on how we beat that and how we get away from that. And if you can do that, I think, and then it doesn't make it boring practicing every day. And you get more prepared, I think. But listen, both teams are going to be so excited to play and get this thing going. I assume that there might be a lot of mistakes in the first period and a lot of finishing checks in the first period, but I think they'll settle into a pretty solid game, and I'm sure the Caps will have a great game plan to how to beat Carolina.
Bruce Boudreau is with us multiple times, 50-plus wins in a regular season with the Capitals. Joining us here on Grant and Danny, we're at City Tap House. Stop by on your way to the arena to pregame with us on The Fan. You mentioned having Freddie Anderson. I mean, that would have obviously been his Ducks time way back at the beginning of his career, so maybe things have changed since then, but what's the book? Like, how do they beat him? What's the key?
Well, the key, you know what, when he can see the puck, he stops it. He's a big man. Like, I mean, 6'3", 230 pounds. I mean, I think you've got to get in his face, and I think you've got to make it tough in his crease. Like, I mean, if a guy's taking you in, if one of the Carolina defensemen are taking you in into the net because you're going to the net, to me, you just keep going. Like, I mean, you're not going to get a penalty if they're pushing you in, but you got to make it tough for Freddie. If he can see everything, he usually stops it. So you get to that net, you make it tough on him. You know, he's not the greatest puck handler in the world, but he handles it pretty well. You make him handle a lot of pucks. You do all of those things to bug him. But the one thing about Freddie is if he does get hurt, he only plays if he's about 100%, if he is 100%. So, I mean, to me, getting in his face all night long is something the Caps do very well. They got the big forwards that can do that. I think that's going to be something that they're going to want to do.
Bruce Boudreau is with us on Grant and Danny. We're talking about Rod Brind'Amour working the officials a little bit and getting to work some of the alt casts with you over the years. We've told some fun stories about your time. Now, I've tried to tell Danny a couple of these stories about you and the officials that you said on air, Bruce, but would you mind regaling him with whatever length version of the tale you told me that involved an official in the playoffs and toilet paper?
Oh, yeah, you know what? Paul Dvorsky is my friend, and we both live in Hershey, and we both lived in Hershey that year. And not only did we live in Hershey, we were next door neighbors. So it was really ironic that he coached or he ref game 7 in the playoffs against us in Philadelphia, my first year coaching in the NHL. And So, I mean, he called a penalty on John Erskine in the neutral zone in overtime in game seven, and they ended up scoring a goal in that game or to win the series. And, I mean, he moved on to the next series. He was always a senior ref. I ended up in a few days coming home, and I just, me and my wife said, okay, let's do something. So we went next door and we TP'd his whole house just so when he came home that he would have to do some work. So, I mean, we saw him come back home and we said, you know, this is about 4 days later. And we go, Jesus, you know, we got to go apologize to him. So I knocked on the door and I said, Paul, listen, you know, it's us. We've TP'd your house and everything. And he laughed about it. And I said, besides, I got to tell you, because you're the only guy with a pool in the neighborhood, I want to use it. I don't want you to be pissed off at me for the rest of the year. So we'll help you with it. But he became, you know, we're good friends still to this day. But it was something that, hey, not only did we do that, his son, who's his mother was living in another part of Hershey, he wouldn't come home to his dad's house for a week. He was so mad at him. So, I mean, I think all Caps fans were mad at Mr. Dvorsky at that moment.
I love the let's do something. And the something was TP your neighbor's house.
Got to do something.
I've said let's do something to many people many times, and that hasn't come up.
Well, it was either that or take the air out of his tires when he got yeah. home. I didn't think he'd appreciate that one. So.
Bruce Boudreau on Grant and Danny here on 106.7 The Fan. What did you make of the Caps defensively in the Montreal series? They seem to be buttoned up. They allowed the fewest high danger chances in round one of any team, albeit only playing the five games, but they only gave up 24. Was that more about Montreal or Washington? And whose game did you like? Who's got to pick it up on the blue line?
Well, I think a little bit of both. I mean, let's face it, Montreal played hard, but their forwards are small. And the Caps, one of the things they do extremely well, very similar to the Toronto Maple Leafs, is they come back to the front of the net, they protect the front of the net, and they're much bigger than the opposition. So, I mean, consequently, they were getting nothing in the middle of the ice. And that's where I think, like, when the Caps, the first 50 games of the season, were one of the best, they were number one defensively in the league, I think, up to the first 55 games or something in the season. And that's what they got back to, was playing that solid defensive hockey, because for a while there, they were averaging, allowing 3+ goals a game. And I was a little worried about them coming into the playoff, but they seem to have fixed that. They've shored that up and they bring everybody back to the house. They block shots. They protect the front of the net. So you're not going to, you know, I mean, and Logan Thompson is going to be able to stop everything from the outside. So that's what they do. And it works. And consequently, it worked against Montreal.
Coach, give us a prediction for the series.
Well, I think it's going to be a tougher series than the one we just saw with Montreal, and it's going to be tougher than Carolina had with New Jersey. So I'm saying this is going to go 6 or 7. I'd like to see the Caps win it in 6. You never want to have to go to game 7 if you don't have to, and I've seen it happen way too many times before. So I'd like to see the Caps win it in 6.
Bruce, at home tonight, last change for Spencer Carberry. Obviously, the Caps are 3-0 at home in these playoffs. How big of a deal is that actually? Like, are you not able to get matchups that you want favorably on the road, or do we over-talk about it, do you think?
I mean, sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. But I think one of the things that Caps have 4 really good lines, okay? You look at the L.A. series with Edmonton, is where they only used 9 forwards. They had problems matching up because they didn't use their fourth line. The fourth line of the Caps, when you've got Dowd in the middle and Duhaime and whether it's Radish or whoever's on the other side, they can take every defensive face-off because they have faith, and Carbs has faith in them, and they're responsible. So that gives them a huge advantage. And like when you've got 4 lines that can play, the other thing you can do is you could put either that line or Dubois' line on the Aho line. So, I mean, either way, they're going to get the matchup they like. I think it's a good situation for the Caps, and that's what makes them good. They're well-balanced. They're they're really good at that. So it's, yeah, those are reasons that you can match. You can play the matchup game if you have the guys to match it up. If you don't, if you have only one, say, good checking line, and the other team is smart enough that has they're matching up against you, then they put their first line out all the time, and you're putting your checking line out, and your better scorers are staying on the bench. That's what makes the advantage for Caps. When you can have at least two lines playing against their best line all night, it works out well, and it's an advantage for the Caps, whether you're at home or you can match up on the road like that as well.
Coach, great to catch up with you. Enjoy the series.
I'm going to. You guys too. It'll be fun.
Should be great. Thank you, sir. That's Bruce Boudreau, terrific Caps coach over the years. Coached in many a playoff game, not just here, but in every stop. Got his teams to the postseason. Next on Grant and Danny, we've seen Jaden Daniels rocking the red at the arena. We've seen some of the Nats come out. Frankie Louvu got a big pop in the last game. Who could be next representing DC Sports, supporting the Caps? Still got our Caps to Score a Goal draft coming up today as well. You're listening to Grant and Danny. We're at City Tap House, game one tonight. The puck will drop just after 7 against the Carolina Hurricanes. This is The Fan. Welcome back to Grant and Danny from City Tap House, Penn Quarter, just a few blocks away from Capital One Arena. Caps Canes, game one, round two tonight. We'll have one more opportunity for one of our listeners to win a pair of tickets to game two coming up on Thursday at Capital One Arena down the street. We're going to be here on Thursday as well ahead of that second game of this series. So make note if you're coming to the game, pregame with us. They got delicious food, ice cold, wonderful beverages, and a lot of Caps fans and camaraderie out here at a puck drop, so it's a good place to be. Last time the Caps were at home, we're going back to the clincher, which was 6 days ago.
I was going to say a month and a half ago, give or take.
Wednesday night, they hosted and beat Montreal. They took the series in 5, 4-1. They took the game 4-1 as well. In that game, the dignitary, the DC Sports celebrity that was pumping up the crowd, they try to have one for every game, was Frankie Louvu of the Washington Commanders. And I posted a video on Instagram if you guys want to check it out, at Grant H. Paulson. But Louvu got an unbelievable pop from the crowd in a way where I love Louvu. Like, that's my guy. I think he's one of the great talents on the team. I thought it was a little bit of a hipster thing, but I guess the secret's out. I was taken aback. He is a star in this town because he's one of these guys where I thought they put him on the board and maybe people wouldn't even recognize or know who he was, and they eventually give you the chyron where it says his name or whatever. Mm-hmm. But the moment you saw Louvu standing there, he ended up chugging a beer and
slam the, that's all it takes, man.
Yeah,
you slam that beer and start throwing out t-shirts,
but
winner.
Just the mere like showing of Frankie Louvu, because initially he just kind of stands there, does like the b-boy pose, like crossed arms, leaning back, and everyone went nuts. I didn't know it was like that for Frankie Louvu.
Cool. It was cool to see, man. Again, just, it shows you the wholehearted embracing of the foosball boys, right? I mean, at one point, if you'd had the off-ball linebacker from like 6 years ago at a Caps playoff game, you would have went. People would have been like, "Who is that? Do we know him?" Oh, the Chiron. Yeah, he's the linebacker. You know, it's like Will Compton. So people knew Will Compton. You know what I mean? Like something like that. But now everybody's in.
I also think he's just so good.
And he's awesome. Yeah.
And he's only going to, I think, be even more impactful this year if they have him stand up and rush off the edge. Because by not addressing that pass rushing role with Dante Fowler as a double-digit sack guy gone, the possibility is there that Frankie Louvu, who was used that way in Carolina more than he was last year, could actually just be your edge rusher, like stand him up and rush him. But I just thought it was really, really cool because being at game one, Jake Irvin and Mackenzie Gore, Irvin who pitched for the Nats today, they're leading by 3 runs in the 7th inning. He's got a chance to get another win. And Gore, who's leading the major leagues in strikeouts and has been one of the better left-handed starting pitchers in the sport this year, those guys were right on the glass. And I went down. I know Jake pretty well, so was visiting with them and just talking to them. And Mackenzie was having a blast. And had not really spent much time, you know, around the game of hockey, it didn't seem like in person. And it seemed like he was having just a real welcome to the sport moment, essentially, which I love to see. But then the next night, so for game two of that series, they brought in like a dozen Commanders. And that was the night where Jaden Daniels was on the glass with the QBs. It was him and Mariota and Sam Hartman. But the entire offensive line and a bunch of players from the offense took a bus over, big party bus.
So cool.
And it was just a party. And the Commanders all night long, not unlike the Caps and the Nats during that time where there was the back and forth after their championships, you know, they were just partying and on screen constantly. And it really added to the atmosphere. So I was kind of wondering, Danny, who do they have left? Like, what else could you do potentially now? You've rolled out Daniels. Ovi's the other superstar in town. He's busy.
Yeah, he's occupied.
He's on the ice. Luvu got the big pop, so I'm open to the possibility that there are maybe non-superstars that would be on screen and everybody would want to see them. But I don't know what that looks like. The Nats are playing tonight.
Yeah, so they're busy too.
They don't really have a guy, but I think if you put James Wood or Dylan Cruz or maybe those guys together or C.J. Abrams or something, maybe you'd get a nice pop. But I think we're a little short on superstars. We got really good players in town, but who else could they trot out there as the sports celebrity?
So the first thing that jumped into my mind is John Bernthal, right? Or like a Jeffrey Wright or something like that.
Yeah,
but almost like guys that have sports in their blood and backgrounds, guys that are big sports fans. But you just pointed out, I mean, the stars, the many are playing.
Yeah.
In terms of Nats and the Caps.
Well, like Thursday night's a good example. The Nats are off, so they're available. If you brought out Dylan Cruz and James Wood, and they did the Scherzer,
Max Scherzer,
Ryan Zimmerman thing, where they like put on hockey buckets and they yelled, "Let's go Caps!" Does that get the big pop? Maybe
it'll get a little juice, but not the same. Not like you know, decade long career superstar type status, right? But that's kind of the point. I mean, we are in a time of transition. Right, the Wizards are purposely young, purposely bad. They're building maybe in a handful of years if they've made an Eastern Conference final or something like that. Alex Saar could be that dude that's, you know, just going to where he goes to the office anyhow, appearing on the Jumbotron or, you know, something to that effect. But yeah, right now it's basically football guys and the dudes that are already on the ice playing who could get that kind of energy.
By the way, you just mentioned John Bernthal as a possibility. So I just went and saw The Accountant 2. Which he was in. And I think he stole the movie. He was great. I love Bernthal. He was actually also just in The Amateur, which I saw, which was pretty creative, cool little action flick. I'm a John Bernthal guy.
Yep.
I don't think anyone knows who he is, really. I think they see him on the screen tonight at the game, in this hypothetical where he's there, because he's a DMV guy. And they go, I've seen him in something. If he's walking through the arena, I don't think he's getting stopped 100 times.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, so
there's enough Wolf of Wall Street,
but
you know, enough of those.
I can't even picture his character in that movie. I remember liking it, but my point is, I think people go, that's that actor. How many people are name-checking John Bernthal? I don't think it's that many.
Now, if he's in St. Louis, you're probably right. It's like, that's the guy from The Thing. In D.C., he's known, I think, because it's like
at there's a Caps game, though.
Yeah, I think so. The same way, like, you know, the local ties where it's like Jeffrey Wright, who I think is one of the great actors living at this point. Again, if you were in Portland or, I don't know, Minnesota, you'd go, oh, he was in Westworld. Or I think I saw that guy in he's in The Last of Us, or he's been in movies. I think I know that dude. But it's like a D.C. thing where we know Jeffrey Wright to a certain degree. I think there's more when it's the local guy, right? Like in St. Louis, for example, everyone knew John Hamm before he was Don Draper. You know what I'm saying? Like that's because that's where he's from. I think because he's from here, he might get a little more rep. Maybe I'm wrong.
I think Wright, St. Albans guy, Danny Ruye.
It's St. Albans school.
My apologies. Wright is way more recognizable. He's also a unique looking guy in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if you like showed his picture to 100 people in a mall, Pentagon City Mall, I don't think anyone would. It'd be a very small number that would say that's Jeffrey Wright or that's John Bernthal. A lot of people would recognize both, and I think Jeffrey Wright would be more recognized.
He would get more recognized, I would think. He's been in Bond movies.
But my point is, I don't think Caps fans all lathered up watching hockey would be moved by someone like that being on the screen. I could be completely wrong.
I mean, he played – because Bernthal did the Punisher, people would get steamed up.
Dude, they'd be more psyched to see Johnny Kicksallville.
No.
Yes.
No.
Dude, Caps fans, it's just fishing in a bucket, in a barrel. It's just sports fans in D.C. Like, walk around right now and ask people who John Barenthal is in this bar. They ain't going to – they don't have his resume. I'm telling you.
No, I disagree with that. I think you don't have his resume. I think everyone else has seen all the stuff.
Again, the disrespect from you. I love the guy. He's one of my favorite little bit actors. He is the same guy in every movie, but he's an awesome version of it.
He plays
he's a hitman in every single movie.
Very serious John Bernthal. The grievance is different, but the actions are the same. He's good.
I think he legit stole The Accountant too. He was as good as he's been in any movie because that movie's got some heart and some like there's some comedic chops to him too.
Dude, the original Accountant is slept on. That movie is slept on. Because it's like, you know, it's Ben Affleck's version of like a Liam Neeson January release throat chopper, and he's doing some of that, but like there's, as you said, to your point, there's like a little bit more heart and guts to it than you would think. It's a good movie.
The Nats bullpen, by the way, is in the process of blowing a 4-run lead.
A giant meltdown.
So we got that going for us. It was 6-2. The bases are now loaded and it's 6-5. Other than that, how was the play, Danny Ruye? This has been quite the inning.
Jose Ferrer, who I like, just came in and was like, this could use some kerosene.
Didn't want to get any outs.
No, not a fan of it.
I assure you that. I will get you Caps stock report coming your way next on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. Also, one more shot to win tickets to Thursday night's Game 2 Caps and the Canes at Capital One Arena. Coming up in less than 15 minutes, you got to be listening to The Fan. Time. We are about an hour and 20 minutes away from puck drop. We are at City Tap House, Penn Quarter. Come by on your way to the arena and say hello. Grant and Danny welcoming you back on The Fan. In about 8 minutes, somebody's winning a pair of tickets to Game 2 on Thursday over at Cap 1 Arena. It is time for a Capitals stock report coming out of round one, entering this series with the Hurricanes. Let's see where the arrows are trending.
Let's go stock up, please. How about Stromer, 27-year-old, had 9 points. That's 9 points in 5 games. That's good. That's almost, my math isn't great, GP, but that's almost 2 points per game. That's pretty good. He was underrated, unheralded at times in this series, potted a couple goals in his own right, but seemed to assist and seemed to be making the right play consistently both ends of the ice. Dylan Strom, stack report up.
Let's go stock up Alex Ovechkin. We talked going into the Montreal series about Ovi not having a single point, obviously no goals, in his 4 games against the Rangers last year in a sweep when Washington was summarily dismissed from the postseason after sneaking in with a nearly minus 40 goal differential. Very, very different series against Montreal in a very, very different year for Ovi. 4 goals, 5 points, a plus 3, led the team with 19 shots on goal. Ovi was active. He's one of these guys now in his career where he might be quiet for a period. He might have several shifts where you don't notice him. It takes one split second. It takes one moment, power play, winning a draw, setting him up, Strom off of a faceoff win, and he puts a puck in the back of the net, and all of a sudden, he's one of the three stars of the game. He's got that type of impact waiting on that stick every time he rocks and fires. But a 4-goal first round has Ovi feeling himself going into this series with Carolina.
Let's go another stock up. I like it. By God, that's Logan Thompson's music. Won all 4 games of the Capitals' first round for one series. Win, saved 92.3% of the shots that he faced. A 2.2 goals against average in that series against Montreal. He was really, really, really good. There are a couple moments where it gets a little too frenetic. A couple moments where it's a little too frenzied for him. If he can kind of stay within, because here's what's going to happen. Carolina is going to pepper him, the team, et cetera, with shot after shot after shot after shot. You maintain your discipline, rebound control, maintain your positioning. He is a big, strong, tough goaltender, and he's got to be outstanding in this series for the Caps to win it.
We'll go stock down here. Now, this isn't completely fair, and I'm picking nits, but I thought John Carlson offensively was fairly non-existent against Montreal, and that's not what he gets paid to do first. He's obviously a defenseman, and on the blue line, he was a plus six, normally more indicative of, you know, team evaluation than player. But in five games, he had just one assist and a 1 point in that opening round series. I also thought defensively, he was at times, he just looked slower than some of the other guys, you know, on the blue line. I think Carly's in a good place physically, mentally right now. I hope he's healthy. If he is, then I'm very confident that he'll have a good series. But you need him skating crisply. You need him skating with speed and looking energetic to keep up with a very fast Hurricanes team. He had just six shots on goal in five games against Montreal. Now, you go back over this year, there are games where he has three or four shots. Just wasn't really joining the rush or overly aggressive from the point, whether that meant on the power play where he still gets minutes or at even strength in the offensive end. I want to see more out of John Carlson against this Hurricanes team, and they might need him to be more effective offensively if they're going to come out of this series winners.
I'll put another stock report up, please. How about Connor McMichael in the first series of this postseason here? Ended up with 5 points, three goals. That doesn't tell the story, though. He was frisky. He was activated. He was creating havoc. He was probably the best offensive player in terms of goal scoring and high danger chances and getting himself right there on the doorstep, putting himself in really good position to pot some things, to be a challenging pain in the ass pest in terms of goal scoring type stuff. Obviously, you know, different player, but kind of reminded me of how Dino Cicerelli used to do it. Not the greatest skater, not the greatest stick handler, not the greatest shot, but you put it all together, knows for the goal, knows where he's supposed to be. Just a pain in the butt, was there for some timely goals and some good scoring chances for the Caps. They're going to need that here this series.
He had 15 shots on goal, second most on the team in the opening round against Montreal. I'll go stock up as well. Anthony Beauvillier, in 18 games in the regular season after being acquired via trade, Bovey, not Ovi, but Bovey, had all of 5 points. And then he had that many in five playoff games in the first round against Montreal. The big goal in game one and then four apples as well. He was a plus four in the series. He ended up with 14 shots. Only Alex Ovechkin and Connor Michael had more shots on goal than Anthony Beauvillier. Who saw that coming? Mm. He became an unlikely star and a real unsung hero for this team last round. The question is, what's his role and what line is he going to be skating on? Alexi Protas is almost certainly going to start tonight, game one, on the fourth line with Dalton Duchesne. But we already heard from John Walton on the broadcast earlier today that Spencer Carberry told him there is a chance that if they're not getting off to a fast start or generating chances and shots, maybe Protas gets elevated and starts skating with the second line, maybe the first line. They move him around until they find something that works. I could see Beauvillier sliding back down. They celebrate that he is versatile. They call him their Swiss Army knife. You could see him being a forechecking pest, even without being overly physical. With Dalton Duchesne on the fourth line, he played a lot with them at the end of the regular season. So the shots might go away. Some of the offensive input might not be there if he's not on the top line. But I love the way he's playing, and I like that he can help you kind of in multifaceted ways on any line. Beauvillier has proven to be a hell of an addition. He had the most points of any player acquired at the trade deadline going back to round one.
I'm going to do a gentle stock down here. Very gentle. Now, it's not all about scoring the goals, okay, for Lars Eller, but those aren't happening, and that's obvious. But there's not much production here. Now, that's not sort of the primary role. He's got to play some defense. He's got to play that full 200-foot game. But at times, it just sort of feels like he's in quicksand. It feels like the game is sort of passing him by in certain moments. I think he's got to be more active. Again, it's not necessarily going to translate to scoring. I think that ship has long sailed. But to me, there needs to be just a little bit more from Lars Eller, right? Whether it's the big hit, whether it's the forecheck, whether it's creating chances for others, whether it's, God forbid, a shot on goal yourself. It's all allowed. Just need a little bit more from Lars Eller here in this series.
There you go, your Capitals stock report ahead of game one tonight with the Carolina Hurricanes live from City Tap House. We're hanging out with Caps fans today and Thursday ahead of these two home games. By the way, they're in Carolina and Raleigh on Saturday and Monday. I'm thinking about driving down there on Saturday. I still got some details to work out, okay? I still got to figure some things out with the wife at home. But Saturday, take off from work. No show on the BetMGM network, maybe?
Do you have the huevos to do it is the question?
It's a big question.
Do you have them?
People are asking. People are talking about
it. So many people.
Here's how I would do it. I would get in my car.
Yep.
I would drive to Raleigh.
Yep.
The site of my bachelor party.
Yep. You guys remember me, right? Grant Paulson?
I was there for a Caps-Canes game in that barn. Jay Beagle scored a game-winning goal with 2 seconds left in February of, I guess I should know what year I got married.
You got married in
17 or 18. I always botch it. I think it was 18. February of 18.
Yeah.
I know everything based on sports stuff.
Yeah.
It's like I got engaged the day Anthony Rendon had
three
home runs and 10 RBI. And then I got married with Jay Beagle scoring with 2 seconds left in Carolina. Point of the dude's story is, should I do that on Saturday?
Again, I don't know if you've got them. If you feel like you've got them and you're up to the challenge, I think you do it.
That's got to be a don't take your kid situation, right?
No, that's just Grant. Now, are you getting tickets? What are you doing?
Well, I would get tickets. I would
are you just going to Raleigh and hoping?
No. I'm not making the trip without a ticket. I would just get online.
Yep.
Probably get on Game Time and see what we're looking at. Buy a ticket somewhere probably in the upper rafters. Don't have the glass connection in Raleigh.
No, there's no fogging up any windows.
There's no Windex to be sprayed
even
in Raleigh.
Even after your bachelor party and you were the king of Raleigh down there? You spent more money down there than they've ever seen.
I don't think they like me very much there.
What about, doesn't Will Brinson live close by there?
Yes, Will Brinson does, actually.
Couldn't you do something there? Like, I don't know what kind of pull he's got. Maybe.
Well, what would I do? Just talk to Will Brinson? Where does that get me?
Tell him you'll give his buddy Zeke a shout-out like he does when he comes on here and see if Will will have something for you.
He loves shouting out Zeke.
Shout out to my buddy Zeke.
One final time today, Danny. Let's give away a pair of Caps tickets.
Caller 9 at 800-636-1067. You'll want a pair of tickets to Round 2, Home Game 2 for the 2025 playoffs with the Washington Capitals. Thursday, May 8th versus Carolina at Capital One Arena. For tickets and more event information, visit thefandc.com. That's 800-636-1067.
Next on G&D, we're going to hit the headlines, best of the day, and then we've got our Caps to score a goal draft. If you're coming down to Penn Quarter, we're at City Tap House. Got a little time to stop in for a cold beverage before they drop the puck after 7. This is your flagship home for Caps hockey. All of our coverage brought to you by Ace Trim Carpentry. 25 years, Ace Trim's been a trusted trade partner for new home builders in the DMV, specializing in full-service interior trim carpentry, handling everything from supply to installation, turnkey and hassle-free. Contact them, acetrim.com today. That's Ace Trim, the home builders trade partner. You're listening to The Fan.